You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who does?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
Our podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Stephen.
Good to see you in this little window. I only now see you when we record, so not often.
I know. We have to be better about that and be like actual friends as opposed to like podcast friends.
Business partners.
Like, that's kind of gross. Like, I don't know what you've been up to. Like, you got a haircut.
Here's my major update. Spilled an entire pot of boiling water all over my legs. It hurts so bad.
Scald. When? This morning?
No, like 3 days ago.
Do you have like burns?
I'm like Anna Faris in The House Bunny when she stands over the grate to do like a Marilyn moment, but yeah. Then she gets the steam burn and has to like wrap her legs.
Stephen, I just watched that like 2 days ago. And this time I was awake.
Beverly D'Angelo.
Brilliant.
What news have you?
I don't have much news. Wait, I do. Do I want to mention this?
You launched a thing.
Oh, I launched a thing. That's not what I was going to say, though. Okay, so so I've been producing this show on the new streaming service, Broadway On Demand. Everybody, there's an app you can download. You can also watch content on the website. It's super fun. I am producing a show called Broadway Fanatic, hosted by Miss Laura Haywood, who I call Miss Hollywood Haywood. She's great. She's such a pro. And we celebrate Broadway fans on the internet who are doing like crazy TikTok videos and performing their own kind of content. You can be a Broadway star or just a regular person loving theater. Like, you don't even have to be a theater person, like having done theater. There's like grandmas who like know Hamilton, and that's what we're loving.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, man. Grandmas who love Hamilton. That little laugh you just heard.
Yeah, who's in our room?
Just lurking in the corner.
Yeah, who is that? Who's in our room?
You guys, I think it's Nadia Quinn.
It's totally Nadia Quinn, who I'm definitely going to slip up and call Nadia Wahab many times.
Made a name. Hi, this is Nadia Quinn. What's up?
Hey, girl.
I'm such a fan. This is so weird.
Stephen, I'm just going to let you gush for this entire hour.
Oh, what even?
I just think you're too cool for school, and I think you're too funny for anyone's good, and I just want to like, hush and watch whatever you do because you make me laugh from a very deep part of my head that you have found access to.
That's very kind.
You know, I can't skip a Summer and Eve moment when it comes on shuffle.
Yeah, you know, classic tunes.
Classic tunes. The soundtrack of my 500 Days of Summer reboot.
We've also been trying to get you forever, and this is like the most, I don't know, satisfaction I've had in a long time of like finally getting Miss Nadia Quinn.
Check mark.
I think this is episode 70
game.
And welcome to it.
Ooh, episode 70, good number.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And are you in Astoria at this moment?
I am, yes. I'm in my apartment in Astoria.
Same, queen. What is the apparatus behind you?
Oh, it's actually a lamp. This is a mirror.
Oh, it's a mirror. Like,
yeah. And wait, I don't know how you can tell it's a mirror. If I open it, maybe.
I see that it's a mirror.
It's just
but it looked like.
It's a closet.
A slide.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Or are you talking about the cuckoo clock? I don't know. Nobody can see it. So there's some cool stuff you guys can't see. Just wanted to rub it in.
Yeah. We like to set the scene where people are and what they're drinking.
Oh,
I'm drinking
great.
A rosé.
I'm drinking tea. It's so lame.
Iced tea.
Oh.
See, you guys are meant to be.
How's your quarantine?
How's your quarantine?
How are you coping?
You know, I'm doing okay, actually. Up and down every day, right?
Yeah.
Like an elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the story of this. Did I move on too fast from describing the room? Should we talk about the room more? Do you feel like you got the room content we've all been looking for?
I mean, there are some blinds we haven't talked about.
Okay. I will say these blinds are thick blinds, which are way better than the skinny blinds, in my opinion.
Oh, delicious.
I'd agree.
They're thick.
There's less of them doing the same job.
There's less of them doing the same job. Exactly. 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 Yeah. And I don't need a
shoestring blind.
No, I don't need that shoestring.
I want a shoestring fry.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. And it better have mayo or get out of here.
Give me that thick wedge blind.
Thick wedge blind and a skinny fry. Couldn't agree more. I'm on board.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. Tea time.
Well, you're a creative person. What do creatives do in Quar? I know you make songs. You had a whole COVID-19 to the tune of Come On, Eileen.
Yeah, we did that one almost too soon. It was very at the beginning before any of us knew it was really that serious. We even wrote the parody kind of as a joke. Like we were like, this is funny. A virus is coming. Ha ha ha. And then 2 days later, it was like, I'm never going to see you guys in person again.
Oh my God. Sorry. Flag it for inappropriate content.
Are you feeling inspired in quarantine or are you feeling off your game?
You know, it's been a long time. We've been in here a long time, right? What is it? What day is it? What year is it?
It's 70 or 71.
Interesting. Okay. So we're at the end of May. Episode 70, guys, and the 70th day of quarantine.
Oh, it's the shared.
That is fast math, you guys. Fast math.
Oh. I mean, I can't verify any of these facts, but I like it if they're true. So I typically, I'm an actor and a writer, so I usually am kind of on this same sort of freelancy life. So when this lockdown started, and I like being alone. I'm married though. I have a husband who he's not here right now, but he lives here. That's what happens when you're married. You live with the person you're married to.
Home. Not always, Whoopi Goldberg. Not
that's
always.
True. That's true. And also if you live in separate homes with your spouse, more power to you. Sometimes it's too close for comfort.
I don't want to see your toenails. I don't want to see your toenails ever.
Well, you're going to see toenails. If you're living with someone, you will see their toenails. That's a part of.
Quick pen. Speaking of toenails, we did exfoliating foot masks in my house.
Oh, the baby feet
are just falling off left and right.
Yeah,
not dissimilar to a snake. It's the it's bringing baby us feet. Close. It's yeah. bringing us closer. Certainly,
it's the grossest, but the outcome is beautiful. Ooh,
delicious.
You gotta get gross before you get.
Smooth.
Christine.
And it was a multi-pack, so we can do them again in a month or two and see what the damage is, Heather.
Yeah.
Continue.
So living with your husband.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not totally alone here, but yeah, shocking. Shocking take. But typically, our life is not very much unlike what quarantine has been. I'm usually at home writing. The big main difference is I leave the house a few times a week for auditions, and now I'm not doing that. But in general, I try not to put pressure on myself to make stuff because, I don't know, you guys are creative types. I feel like it hits you like a bolt of lightning when it's right, and it's usually pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of time where you're not making stuff. So I don't know, this has been such a wild journey. The first week I was like, I have to be productive. I have to do physical activity every day and learn how to sew my own clothes and make stews from scratch. And then after a week, I was like, I'm just going to sort of chill and do whatever I want all the time. And
that's great. I love that you came around.
That's the
ride
I am also on.
But I am creating to sort of answer your question in a roundabout way. I've been doing, for the last couple of summers, I've been doing these live shows, live shows with my friend Emily Young, who I met doing Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. we were dressing roommates and she's in Fiasco Theater. And we started doing these like live theater shows and we were supposed to do one this summer in July. And we've been kind of like, what are we going to do? This is so sad. We were excited to work on it. We were going to do like a live variety show, like a sort of modern Prairie Home Companion type of thing at microphones. Yes. And so what we've been working on that we're actually almost ready to put out in the world is a radio variety show that is an alternative to the live variety show we'd been planning. And we're going to be making those until we can do live stuff again.
Oh my so God. Cool. And like, do you have like fake toothpaste commercials?
Yeah, we have a couple of those. We have like we have some real ads and yeah, they're like sort of fake, but sort of real. And Jeff Hiller is like wrote all the comedy.
Yes.
Sketches. Love brain.
Yeah. So Jeff and Emily and I, you know, along with Connor Gallagher's directing it. And yes. It's sort of the same group that we've, Matt Cusack does all the music that we've collaborated with on other stuff. And so we've been doing that. Been the main funnel of my creative input. And I've been working on a musical for a really long time and we like burned it all to shreds a few months, like 6 months ago. And we've been rebuilding it slowly during this time. So actually you were talking about Summer and Eve, Stephen. And when we did Summer and Eve at a show at Ars Nova, probably 5 or 6 years ago. No, it had to have been more than that now, like 8 years ago, I want to say. And after that show, someone was like, you guys should write a musical. Aaron Quinn, my husband, who I wrote all the Summer and Eve music with, and then our friend Dave Adamick, who I went to college with, started brainstorming ideas for a musical. And we wanted to do something small and self-contained and ended up coming up with this idea for a show about six friends who go camping and everyone gets killed by a bear. And it's called It's the Bear. But you don't know, it still surprises you later that it's a bear, especially now that I've announced it on this very popular podcast.
Number one top rated on iTunes. Get into it, Grant. Yes.
Listen, I believe you. Yeah. So basically we worked on it for a long time and then put it away because we hit writer's block and then picked it up a few years ago and almost finished it and then realized we needed to change some things in fundamentally to make it better. And we like destroyed it and we are reassembling the destroyed pieces, but it's going to be awesome now. Like I'm really, really excited about it. And it's sort of immersive and funny and irreverent and weird and takes place in the woods. And we're imagining it like in a warehouse that is a forest and little pockets of seating up high and all over, socially distant pockets of seating, just in case, yes. just in case.
Get that cherry picker.
Oh, what a fun place in the process to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rebuild is much more fun than the burn all your children that you've become emotionally attached to for years. Mm-hmm. But
sure.
You got to put it into a bucket and throw it into the river. That's exciting.
Yeah. It is. Sure. Life's exciting. Life is life. Life is what it is, guys.
Let's back up. You are an actor, singer, writer, producer.
A
commercial actress, a television actress, a movie actress. A Broadway actress, a singer in a band that does cool shit at Joe's Pub. Like, what? How
you
dare
hate
you?
Cilantro.
How dare you? You're so talented. And
thank you.
A really great photographer, might I add.
That's very nice. You know, it's actually nice to have someone else tell me what I do because I can never answer that question. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. What do I do? And you just told me everything I do. And I'm like, that's cool. I do all that stuff.
There's something about like when you're like, who is Bette Midler? It's like, she's a performer. I don't know, a creator, a giver. She's putting herself out into the world. She's not just a singer, not an actress. I mean, you fit all of those boxes, right? And man, you have a way with words, my lady.
Thank you.
Truly.
It's really fun to like go back and listen to that Summer and Eve stuff because... Stephen reminded me of the George Foreman song, which, whew.
I mean, Dana, how badly do you wish that Nadia was with us at the Dumpling Festival as we were like tearing our list of dumpling puns to shreds?
We spent 17 hours walking from the Lower East Side to Mother Burger, like in the 50s, just saying...
Dumpling puns.
God, your brain.
Did you write them down? What a song. Yeah. There's a song right there. The dumpling song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's Miles.
Which, I mean, let's back up even further now that we know what you do. How did you grow up? Like, I know you have a million sisters and they're all talented and also creative. Did you just grow up, like, just putting on plays and singing? Like, all of you just being those kids? Like, what is your life?
Well, I grew up, you and I both went to school in Wisconsin. My mom grew up there, but we moved around growing up. Our dad is Middle Eastern. Mom grew up in Wisconsin. They met through like chance circumstance and had five kids. So I'm the oldest of these five girls. And we moved around the country growing up. Our dad was an electrical engineer, so he'd get like transferred to new power plants.
And
he was an actor in Jordan before he moved to the US.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in plays and in this TV series. He played the prince in this like fairy tale series. And he, you know, we've seen videos of his plays. He was very dashing and handsome, but he was offered like this big acting job before he left Jordan. And he was like, no, I'm going to America to be an engineer. That's it. No. So he's always jokes like, I turned down an acting career to come to the US. None of you would be here if I took that career.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he's funny. I definitely, my sense of humor comes from my dad 100%. He is a natural comedian. He's the funniest guy. And yeah, it was a pretty wild time growing up. But I did weirdly. I wrote plays a lot as a kid. And I had four sisters that I could make participate in my escapades. They were all pretty willing. Did you go to school with?
I went to school with Audra.
Audra, okay,
and she was a couple years older than I was. And so she was kind of like the, you know, the acting goddess of University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. But no, she was great. She's a really great actress. Yeah, and then, she said, my sister does headshots. And so you came to school and did the entire department's headshots, which was was just the first time we met. I'm sure I was incredibly awkward.
I remember. No, I remember you definitely. I remember everyone because I stare at everybody's faces when I'm editing for weeks afterward. And
I saw the same hair color. Like, I think I went red right before that. And like, here we are 12 years later. So,
wow.
What was, growing up, since you do so much, you write, you produce, you do all the things that Dana mentioned. What was the genesis bug? Did you want to be in movies? Did you want to be a singer? Did you want to be a fire woman?
An electrical engineer.
I always wanted to be an actress. I remember Punky Brewster. Do you remember that TV show? I'm dating myself a little, 80s, but
yes.
I remember watching that show and being like, I'm Punky Brewster. Like, just feeling like I need to do that. And Friday night ABC TV, the TGIF lineup, like really affected me. Full House, all those shows. I was just like, this is what I want to do. And I, there's like a funny story when I was a kid, I was like falling asleep on the couch watching Nick at Night with my dad. And I was like, my dad was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, an actress. And he's like, a mattress? And like woke up. And I was like, no, Dad, no. And I was like, what did you want to be when you were a kid, when you grew up? And he's like, an engineer. And I thought he said an idiot. And I was like, an idiot? And you just laughed.
Stop it. A mattress and an idiot.
A mattress and an idiot. But yeah, so we're always joking. But I do remember at that moment, like knowing that I wanted to be an actress. And I used to write letters to the addresses at the end of TV shows, like asking if I could be on the show and telling them why I would be good. I wrote many letters to Jeff Franklin, the producer of Full House. I wrote a song about that. But like, I was like, I don't know how to get there. I have to write them letters. I have to figure out how to get there, like how to connect with these people so they know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And my dad just unearthed a home video recently, actually. And it's like, I was probably 9 years old. All my sisters are running around. You don't even see me in the room. I'm watching it with Aaron. It's like a minute long clip. And he's like, where are you? And I was like, I don't know, probably in my room writing in my diary. All of a sudden my dad pans to the side and I'm like sitting in the corner writing. And he's like, Nadia, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm writing a play. And he's like, oh yeah, what's you writing a play about? I'm like, about a girl who wants to read and she can't read. Okay, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna present it to the class. He's like, okay. And the camera just like pans away. But I was like sitting in the corner among all this ruckus, like writing a play in the corner about a girl who, like a blind girl who wanted to read. I don't know what it was about.
I really do think we as kids inform who we are as adults. Like, I do not think that it's that far off. Like, pay attention, moms and dads. Like,
yeah,
truly.
We are our most authentic selves when we're kids.
Yeah.
Well, this is like, have you guys ever heard of human design? It's this other sort of non-actor related passion of mine that is related to what you just said.
No, tell me everything.
I'm unfamiliar.
It's, so it's basically like based on your birth time and location. So mm-hmm. if you do your astrology chart, if you have the info to do your astrology chart, you can do your human design. And it's like getting an energy map of yourself. And it like divides us into different energy types. And I learned about, I've always been into like kooky wooey stuff, astrology. Yeah. And my grandmother was a hypnotherapist and an astrologer and all of these things. And I, so I've been drawn to that sort of thing, but it's really cool. And basically it's like your design, you are an energy type that is different than everyone else's energy type. And we in our society tell everybody to be exactly the same. We're like, do these things to be successful, mm-hmm. behave in this way, interact with people in this way. And human design is like, that's not true at all. We all are built really differently. And when you know your design, you sort of know yourself in a new way. And basically it supports this idea that we sort of are who we are when we're kids, and all the stuff that happens in between then and adulthood is like conditioning us away from our truth. And then
yeah. it kind of allows for shame wow. to be lifted as well. Like,
yes,
when there's kind of a reason, you can be like, oh, I was bad at math because X, Y, Z, and I don't have to feel bad about that because I was yeah. designed differently or I learned differently. There's a lot of parents who are now homeschooling their children and they're realizing, OMG, my child is learning in a whole different way and they are getting so much more out of it. It's not a pat on the back. It's just a situational thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they need free time to like be institutionalized or be like I just need
institutionalized.
Yeah, I need to take a nap right now. My brain hurts. Or like, I need to just be one-on-one. Like,
did you ever see that thing about how schools were basically designed to teach people how to be in factories? How to like
love
sit
that.
In oh, rows and listen. Wow. And, like, it's an old model.
Yeah.
Sit in a row, listen, be obedient. Follow rules. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in literally anything, so someone should Google that, fact check me. But I heard that.
Sure. We'll have our assistant, Brenda. Can I
fact check it, Brenda?
Show you guys something.
You mean
something?
Rhonda? She's very offended.
Oh my God, Rhonda.
Getting back to we know who we are as children.
Yeah.
My friend Xander has been going through a buying Barbies off of eBay moment. For some de-stressing activities.
Is that what's going on?
He bought me for $5 the Rosie O'Donnell Barbie. Which I did not have yet. And I just have to say,
wow.
Everyone, like, I've talked about her on every podcast, but wow. I just think she's so formative to my upbringing.
Oh yeah.
No
yeah.
Question.
$5 comes with a hairbrush.
She introduced so many of us to Broadway shows in a way that hadn't been done
Didn't
before.
Didn't she? I mean, Dana, what you were just saying that on what episode? We were
every
probably
episode?
Talking about the Rosie special at the beginning of all this. Just her she made it okay to be a fan of something that was off the beaten path a little bit. And she exposed the country to it in a way that wasn't an award show. Designed to sell tickets.
And also it worked so well because she was a fan. Like there's no shame in being a fan. She was like, I'm weeping because you're on my show right now. I love you and I have loved you forever. Go ahead, ring those bells.
It's such a funny thing, isn't it? That like switch from, because I think we all came to New York. Well, I don't know, Stephen, where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Did you grow up in the business? Like, was your family in the business?
My family was not, but I worked as a kid and all through school. And now I'm here, not working.
And you came to New York to do theater, to pursue theater, because you were a fan of theater.
Yeah. Oh like my God. Because I saw fucking Into the Woods on PBS and Bernadette Peters said, this is the cool thing to do. And you need not do anything else.
Yeah.
But this is it. What's better?
No, it's really true. I think that's like what brings most people to New York. And then there's like this certain point where somehow it's like, oh, it's not cool to be a fan of it. Mm-hmm. Or is that just some, but
because you
I'm
can't
saying,
be
Rosie's right.
Do it at the same time. How is that possible? How can but you like,
who says that?
Be a geek yeah. about it. Who says that?
Whoever said it, or did we all just think it was true? Cause everyone's walking through the world, like trying to figure out how to do the same stuff. And none of us are talking about that. None of us know how to do it. That was a wraparound sentence, but you get yeah. what I'm saying. Nobody knows sure anything, do. But we're all trying to pretend like we know stuff. So other people think we know yeah. stuff, but everybody's doing that at the same time.
Yeah. It's like prison. You don't want anyone to know your weakness. So you're just like, I got this.
Yes.
I got this.
I'm
What's
here,
up?
I'm here to serve you so that you can be a fan of me. And it's like, this is why I love working on this Broadway Fanatic project so much, is because people are creating their own stuff because they're fans, and it's becoming new, you know, and it's really creative and it's really sweet.
You see the Les Mis thing the family did in
yeah.
the UK?
Yeah. Oh. Like weeping. That's beautiful.
It was so cool. So creative and fun. And it, yeah. And I love Laura, by the way, too. So tell her I said hello next time you are chatting with her.
I will.
But yeah, we're all fans. You can be an artist and a fan. Thanks, Rosie, for doing that.
Yeah. And I kind of miss that energy. I miss, where's our fan? You know, who's like leading us in that way?
Who's like outside the Broadway world, loving Broadway in a way that it brings it into the mainstream.
I mean, she's still the person. She's still the one who is like, hey, you know what? I'm on my porch looking at my kids. I miss this interaction and I miss Broadway. Let's do a thing. She did a thing and I watched the entire thing and I missed it. You know?
Yeah.
I think Whoopi is good at that too. I don't think.
Yes.
You know, she can only get so many. She is. She's absolutely done. And she does things for Broadway Cares to this day. And
Sister Act, the movie.
And Disney and Rhoda.
Hello.
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 So, I mean, we're lucky to have her, but it's certainly not it's not a daily Rosie. Every day we knew we'd get some Broadway airtime.
Well, do you guys think that theater, like, how do you feel in your bones about what's going to happen with theater? Like, do you feel like it was time for a shakeup? Sorry, am I allowed to ask questions?
Yes. No, I'm glad you did, because I certainly do. I certainly do. Well, I think, I don't want to like name names, especially
Stephen
in the time of like.
Closer to it than I am, but. Good.
The unknown. I guess I'm saying that I see a lot of the same patterns being repeated in the shows that get produced. It's kind of a predictable working,
formulaic,
never stopping, never sleeping of shows. And I would like to see that stopped. I would like to see us see this re-entry as a clean slate to approach it differently, to fix the problems that kept that snowball happening, because who had the time or resources to really address it and give it the care it deserves? Thank God for Kate Schindel. I trust her immensely to stand up for us.
Mm-hmm. I think that when things reopen, people will want fluff, happy comedy, the movies being made into, so I think that while it would be nice to have a whatever you're talking about, I think in reality there might be a, you know, chicken soup for the soul Broadway moment, you know, bringing
like more Come From Away or more Book of Mormon.
I mean,
like wild comedy.
People want to get out of this. This was a tragic event that happened, you know, for the country, for the world. I just think I would say not that this would be coming back, but just like the Tootsies or, you know, the Beetlejuice.
Do you know what I
want? The feel good.
The feel good. The ones that will bring back tourism. Those are the big, you know, the Lion King that will never leave, the Wickeds, I just don't see the really intellectual things coming back for a little bit. There's certainly a place for it, but man, when you're hit with something super heavy, what do I want to watch right now? Mrs. Doubtfire, like as a movie, like think about the movies you're wanting to watch and the TV shows, like Maybe that's just me, but
you know, I feel that's interesting. What were you going to say?
Oh no, I was just saying I hear you, and that's certainly a better business model than what I am kind of hoping for from my artist pedestal, from my little perch. But I hear you, and it makes sense.
There's a place for all of it, and I think people have different needs in terms of the content that they are consuming.
I guess my ultimate hope is that new writers have this window of opportunity to get their stuff ready, because there's about to be a bunch of theaters open that were not previously scheduled. So let's fill them with something, and let's fill them with something new.
Yeah. God, I hope so.
Plenty of new writers with stuff and plenty of time right now for them to be expediting that part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would love.
I want some weird shit. Like I would like some weird shit.
Yeah,
I like the thinky things. So that would be.
I wonder if the like really big flashy things are going to be too not like economical to run. Like what I'm curious about is where the like simple imaginative bare bones theater that is like a magical shared experience. I am curious about whether or not we'll return to something more like that, because they're cheaper to run anyway. And it relies on the art, the magic of the medium.
Yeah. Run a musical like you would a play.
Yeah. Like something that just, it's magical. Cause it's great work acted by amazing people. And it's so simple that you forget that it's not, you're not being hit with like Cirque level impressiveness. Because that's sort of something different to me. I don't know. I wonder about that, because it's so expensive to run those shows, and Broadway has gotten almost not affordable.
Almost?
Black boxes?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's also that article just came around with kind of a model for what social distance seating might look like.
Yeah.
And does that change things? Because isn't Broadway based on a number of seat count anyway?
To even sustain like the rent and all that.
Right.
I've been saying for years, vaudeville needs to come back. And I sort of think now's the time, because it is, Dana, like you were saying, that fluff, fun, wild, silly. It's like dancing, variety, singing, but jokes.
That's my favorite medium.
Is
vaudeville, is cabaret. It's that I'm going to make you laugh so hard you're throwing up, but also I'm going to get real tender and maybe you're going to shed a tear. It has both of those things. It's completely, it can be improv, it can be structured, but I think you're right. And I would love that. I would love that.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
It could go viral. Wait, can we? Okay. So now that we cured the world's problems.
Yeah, we did that.
That was therapeutic. Thank you for asking that question.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm very, very interested in both of you guys had very different answers. And I'm just sort of interested in how everyone feels about it, because we have the opportunity to wipe the slate clean a little bit. So what's coming?
I hope we take full advantage of that. Please continue, Dana.
Yeah. I just want to get into your life a little bit. Your career life. Ew. Okay. And I'm curious as to, you have done a lot of stuff in Los Angeles, and you know, the question on every actor's mind is New York or LA. Can I be bi-coastal? Like, what do I want to do? You've done Broadway, you've been on Black-ish, and
this is us.
So much work in Hollywood, so tell us what that's like. Do you book it and fly and come back?
Like what bi-coastal living has been like?
Yeah.
Well, I've been really lucky because I have cousins out in California that have grown children. They're film editors. My mom's cousins are film editors, and they had a room in their house that I was able to stay in when I first was exploring being in LA. I just wanted to see what it was like. I've always wanted to be on TV. I've always wanted to work on sitcoms and do comedy, and I just wanted to suss it out. But it took a while of spending time out there to get into the groove, and I have to say, it's just a completely different thing. Like when you do film and TV, you work for a very short amount of time. You don't get a lot of feedback. You do a guest star, you're there like 2 days, maybe 3 days, maybe. I mean, Black-ish was a full week, but that's the longest I've ever worked on a guest star, was a week. And then it's over and you you don't feel the audience reaction. You don't know if you did that a good job. You're just kind of like, I guess I did fine. No one said anything.
You did, and by the way, you did.
Oh, you're well, great. Thanks.
You and Chris Ellis.
But then it doesn't come out. You don't see it for 6 months, and then you see it and you're like, I don't even know how to respond to that, because my experience doing it was like working those few days with those people. I don't know. It's a weird medium. I got my start in theater, so definitely different, but I like it all. I don't know. I just like the creative life. So, and I like a change of environment and location and people. That's like an important mm-hmm. thing for me. Maybe because I moved around a lot growing up, or maybe the other way around. I don't know, but I like it for that reason, but I don't think there's an answer. I don't think there's a like, start in New York, spend 10 years there, and then go to LA. Like, LA's LA, New York is New York. Where do you want
to
be?
And you're able to do both?
I am, yeah. But I do a lot of voiceover work and commercial work, which is a huge blessing, because you make residual payments as it airs after you work those few days. So it's enabled me to be solely depend on acting work for the past, 10 years or so, which mm-hmm. lets me be wherever I want to be, basically, as long as I'm available for jobs, which I am equally in New York and LA. But I think it's just wherever you can do whatever you want anywhere. There are no rules. Nothing matters. This is all pretend. This is all pretend. This business is a sham.
A show.
It's a sham. The whole thing is, we're all just people who don't know anything about anything. And we have dreams, and you're like, don't act like your dreams are too big or people won't think you're cool. But then you're like, but my dreams are big. Am I not allowed to talk about them? There are people you can talk about them with. Like, the world is all, it's all about like shutting out not your people and finding your people and trying not to listen to all the baloney.
That's what I've appreciated about you. I think last I saw you was in Robber Bridegroom.
Hmm.
Which I loved.
That was a joy. That show.
Oh God, that was so good. With Leslie Kritzer.
Love her.
Yeah.
Just what a funny gal.
Queen.
She's mm-hmm. she's all right. She'll make it.
She's spectacular in Beetlejuice. I've never seen anyone do what she's doing. I like bowed to her after I saw it. I was like, Leslie, how's she doing it? And she's really versatile, and I don't know where she gets all the energy to sustain what she's doing 8 times a week. It's wild.
What I was going to say is I appreciate that you are such a, I think the word hustler is like kind of gross, but a hustler, like you are working all the time. I see you on my TV screen all the time.
Thanks.
Do you feel like you're working all the time? Like
Well, it's funny because I don't feel like I'm working mm-hmm. or trying to make anything happen in a way that I was in my 20s, I will say. But I think this goes back to my human design, which both of you guys, if you know your birth times, I'd love to tell you what your human designs are.
It's there.
I know my birth time.
Well, I can type it in my thing and tell you, but I'll let that loud Queens asshole drive on by.
I'll put mine in the chat.
Yeah, do it. I can type it in my thing. But wait, what was I just saying?
Birth times. Wait, hustler. Hustler.
Made me think, oh,
you weren't.
So part of the thing with human design is we're divided into like four main energy types. And one type is supposed to be initiating things. One type is supposed to be responding to things that delight. One type is not meant to ever initiate or do anything other than wait for the invitation. I need locations too.
Damn it. Hmm. God damn it.
I'm going to put this in my thing. I'm going to do this while we're here. If we have time, we can keep.
We totally have time.
Okay. And one type is like not meant to initiate or really work at or go after things at all. They are meant to wait to be invited because of their special skill set. So it's kind of interesting to see. Let's look here. Ooh. Stephen, what's your last name?
Farezy, Ferezy.
Okay.
Easy, why?
Farezy, I like the way you say that. Okay. So I'm not going to say your birthday out loud because that's why you typed it to me. It's like hard for me. I feel like, some people Well, I don't know if this is anyone else, but I like still can't really tell left and right apart.
No, nope. I always do.
I have to put my hand up. I'm like,
shocking, yeah. Shocking news.
It's just like a weird thing. But so that's how I feel about right now. I'm like, what am I even doing? Okay, Steven.
I will say wearing a watch helped with that, but I haven't worn a watch in 3 months. So
is that because?
I know it's on the left hand. It's a little heavier.
Got it.
So if I need to think, I can just kind of lift my hands subtly and see which one's heavier and then know that's my left and that left is that way.
Uh-huh. But it's still, you don't know in your heart which way is left and right. Yeah, that, me neither. I feel like that's some
absolutely
sort of...
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, see, it's a thing. I think
because
some people's
I'm
brains...
right-handed. Are... I'm very right-handed. Does that make sense?
Okay. I've got Steven's chart and let me do Dana's. So this is good because I can do like a quick speed read for both of you together and tell you all about yourselves at the same time.
Oh my God.
Steven is a manifesting generator, okay?
Oh, since 1989, queen.
And then Dana. Yeah, I'm just really obsessed with human design. I'm sorry I turned your Broadway podcast into a human design session, but this is who I am.
There are no rules.
Our Broadway podcast is whatever we want it to be.
Okay, great. It's my podcast and I'll do whatever I please. That's true. That's how it should be. Is that who's the engineer? It says Alan, but I don't think his name is Alan.
Oh, Kyle. His name is Kyle.
Kyle, I could always read your human design too. Just type it on in there, hon. Okay, let's see. We got Dana, April. Okay,
It's too much 11. Information already.
No, I know. It's just, I'm just getting, once it's in there, it will be very easy.
We both have pretty strong brands, so I feel like we'd be able to tell if this is correct.
Oh, you'll know.
Ooh.
Wait, it's USA, Wisconsin. And I love your town.
Thank you.
Wild Thank you. Rose, Richland County.
Wild Rose.
Well, that's where I was born.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you are a generator. All right. Okay, so the main thing with human design are these energy types, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Steven, you're a manifesting generator, and I got to close this. And Dana, you are a generator. I'm a generator too. So generators are the type. So all three of us are generators. And then, Steven, you have this little extra manifesting energy. So I'll tell you about generators first. Generators are the worker bee types. We are here to respond to things that light us up and do those things. Things that make us feel like, oh, I don't want to do that. We're not supposed to ever do those things. That's the main thing about generators. You're supposed to go through life responding to the things that light you up. Manifestors, you have a little manifestor energy, are here to initiate. So you are here to do things that light you up. But Steven, also your energy type is someone who's like, you should do that. Hey, I have this idea. I want to say this out loud. You're here to sort of proclaim the urges that come to you. And by doing that, you give the generators around you something to respond to because generators are here to respond. So Steven's like, this is something cool. And Dana's like, oh my God, I love that. Let's do it. That is a manifesting generator working the way they're supposed to and a generator responding to that and being lit up.
That is 100%. Exactly Steven. And you want to know the first thing he ever said to me when we first met?
What?
I want you to listen to my podcast. But the undertone was, I want to host a podcast with you. Do you know? And I was meant to respond. And
yeah.
Because that was the other question later. But he was like, I want you to listen to my podcast. And like, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this.
And you listened to it and you responded to it because you liked it.
I was like, oh,
here we are.
He needs to like float the idea in the fish tank. And then I just kind of like eat it and like yell at it and do other things.
That's exactly, that seems in line with your type. So here, wait, this is Steven's chart, if you can see it.
That's so interesting.
I don't know how. So the main thing here.
I love it.
You can't really see it very clearly.
Here, I'll send you my number. You can screenshot.
I'll text it to you, yeah. So, and then Dan, I'll show you yours. So the thing with human design where it goes in more detail is it starts to tell you where you have energy in your system and that it's like it's like your own energy motors going out and where you receive energy from other people and outside of you. So really quickly here, I wish I could see them side by side. How do I do this? Oh, I do it by screenshots. Yeah, that's exactly the way I do it. I've used a computer before.
You guys, okay. Nadia Quinn at nadiaquinn.com.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is taking one second. Okay. So, Stephen and Dana, you both have your top chakra open, which is where inspiration comes from. So both of you receive your inspiration from other people and things in the world that you see or receive, art that you watch, TV shows, music you listen to, things that you see. You are energized in your inspiration chakra from the outside world. Mm-hmm. Stephen has a defined head center, and Dana, yours is open. So Stephen has a defined way that he processes and thinks about things. Dana, you are open-minded. You can see everyone's side of things. You think about things one way, you think about things another way. Stephen is like, this is the way I think about things, and it's my specific brand of thinking about things.
Oh my God. Oh my God, stop. This is so, we're dying.
So you both
sweating.
I'm sweating.
It's wildly accurate. This is why I'm so obsessed with it.
It's so accurate. Stephen, was that not accurate? Are you dead?
Accurate.
So accurate.
Well, there you have it. Okay, I'll do.
And I'm like, why are you more open? And he's like, this is why.
No, but it is. You are built to have a defined way that you think about things, Stephen. And Dana, you are built to be open-minded and feel everyone's way of thinking about things.
Just call me Star Jones. I mean, come on.
You both have defined throat chakras, which is how you communicate your voice. You're not like sort of stream of consciousness talkers. You speak with authority and energy, both of you. And you have a defined way that you speak and communicate. Both of you have a defined identity center, which is, Dana, when you were like, we both have a strong brand. That's basically having a defined identity center.
How dare you, Nadia Quinn? How dare you?
How dare I repeat exactly your credo right back to you? No, but that's true. My identity is defined too. So both of you have a defined identity. It's your integrity, who you are, what you've wanted, the truth of your soul, been defined all the same since you were a kid. Then you both have a defined sacral center. That's what makes you generators. That's your life force energy. It's like your gut. So you have energy, the gut energy is what gives you that ability to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about that. That is like listening to your body. It's how your body responds to, I love this or I don't love it, mm-hmm. is sort of how you make decisions. Now, Stephen, those are the only four that you have defined. So all of your others are open, which means I'm going to talk about, Dana has two other ones defined. Dana, your root center is defined, which is a grounded, like, I'm not going to get stressed out or overwhelmed. We have a lot of stuff to do. Don't worry. I got it. I'm Dana. I'm a rock. Nothing's going to happen. You're just like, you have built-in adrenaline. You can procrastinate till the last minute and still get all the same amount of stuff done. It doesn't matter. Stephen, you are not built that way. It will stress you out. You're like, there's too much to do. I'm freaking out. I just want to get it done so it's over with. I can't put it off till the last minute. You want to make little bits at a time.
Oh my God.
Dana, your spleen is defined, which you have instinct motor inside your body, like a fear instinct. Like your body will feel like I have a bad feeling about that or I have a good feeling about that. And it is correct. It's coming from inside you.
It saved my life multiple times.
Well, you, Stephen, have that open. So you have no fear in your body. You are built fearless, but however, you pick up the fear and stress of people around you because it's open. So you take on other people's fear. Dana, you are like, I've got instincts about this. That's bad. I have a bad feeling about that. I have a good feeling about that. And it's accurate.
Yeah.
And then neither of you have emotional motor, which is good, actually. I have emotional motor, which is high highs and low lows. You guys are pretty level emotionally on your own, but you take on other people's emotions. You can take on other people's emotions. Very empathetic, but you might absorb other people's emotions if you're spending time around emotional people. And then you both have your heart, ego, willpower open, which is you're really open-hearted. You don't get your heart set on things, but you don't have a built-in willpower motor or like a built-in ego motor that always like easily knows your value. I do not either. So that's that thing of like, but did I do a good job? But did you guys like it? Never mind. I don't care, but I do. If you could tell me that you like it, that'd be great. That's how it works for me. That's how mine comes out.
Totally.
Anyway, that was a speed read. That was a speed read for both of you, because there's so much more. I could talk about it for hours.
Bad by Nadia Quinn.
Wait, there's actually one more thing I should tell you. Can I tell you?
Yes.
It's your arrows, and yours are actually so different. So
yeah,
you guys are both equally half left brain, right brain, but it manifests differently. So Dana, you are a specific eater, and Steven, you are non-specific. So Dana, you need to eat like every couple hours for your body machine to function properly. Little snacks, little food, your body will like not work if you're not eating snacks. Steven, you just like don't, you can eat sort of whenever, whatever your body tells you.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Are you crying? Steven is crying.
Is that true? So that's true?
It's really true.
Okay. And then Steven, you're specific environmentally. So you have really particular feelings about what your environment is like and how you want things to be and look. Dana, you more respond to things you like or don't like, but you're not like, I need it to be here. I want this to go there. I have an exact vision for this. You're like, oh yeah, I like that thing, or I don't like that thing. You like are more receptive energy, Steven specific energy, environment. And then Dana, you are a non-specific manifester. So when you want to make things happen in your life, the secret, that doesn't work for you. You like picturing it very vividly. You need to have sort of broad, vague ideas of what you want to manifest, and that's how you will attract it to you.
Broad, and I will make it detailed when we get there.
Yeah, make it, you want to be non-specific. Yeah. Steven, you are a specific manifester. So
yeah,
when you want to make something happen, you want to imagine it down to the exact detail, and that is how it will come to you most easily. And then the last arrow is, see, I have to do this left, right to know if they're pointing to the left. Dana, you are to the left. So you are, the energy with which you sort of interact with the world is strategic and specific. You have like specific thoughts about like how you interact with other people in the world and how you move through the world and space. Mm-hmm. And Steven, opposite of that, receptive. You're sort of like, go with the flowy about that sort of thing, or let's see where it goes or what happens. And ooh, I met this person. Let's do that. A little more flowy. Dana, a little more particular. You guys are opposites, arrows-wise, exactly, which is cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Opposites attract.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Steven and I are opposites, but we also have a lot of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Bo show.
Mostly rooted in the First Wives Club, but overlap nonetheless.
What a great film.
Yeah.
What Epic. A great film.
Great film.
Why isn't that a Broadway musical yet?
Well, they tried.
They tried.
They did a Chicago production, I think. And then they also did a production even earlier than that in like 07 or 08, and it just wasn't working. Mm. But I think Carmen Cusack might have done the most recent production.
Queen.
I guess 5-6
movies
years
ago. Movies are movies sometimes, you know?
What's your...
It's about those three specifically, though, those three actresses. It's not really about the three.
I know. No, it's those three icons in a movie together.
Yeah.
Nadia, what are a couple of your movies that you just, you know, inside and out, you can watch anytime? There's no such thing as too much of it.
A League of Their Own. That's my, God, I think, that's definite number one.
I knew you were going to say that.
I don't know even why. It just like, that movie really affected me. I saw it in the movie theater. I think I was in sixth grade or seventh grade. I don't remember when it came out, but I saw it in the movie theater.
I cried.
No, it's just so beautiful. Like, it's so great. It's in every way. It's about female friendship. And I wanted to play every part. I just wanted to be a part of it. Tom Hanks, like, it's perfect.
Based on real people.
I know.
Come on.
And the old versions of them look so much like them.
Perfect.
But did you know it's voiceover by like Gina Davis voices, old Gina Davis, even though it is different Gina Davis, it's like a different lady's face.
Yes, which they do in First Wives Club also at the beginning.
Wow. See, I just learned about that recently. So I thought
it was kind of like finding out Santa Claus wasn't real for me too.
What? No, I'm just kidding. Santa's not real.
My friend is directing the new League of Their Own series. Is it a series?
Yeah, it's a series.
Robbie Jacobson.
Yeah.
It's very different. It's not like the movie at all. Like different characters. It's more like young. They're all in their 20s and Brooklyn-y feeling. I feel like it's
good. Shake it up, because we already have the movie.
Exactly. I think
none of us want a new version of it. We're good.
You can't. No. And that actress who played Kit, I forget her name. Rosie was in that too.
Lori Petty.
Rosie O'Donnell, Madonna. What a star turn for Madonna, as if she needed a star turn at that point in her life.
I mean,
this used to be my playground.
Looking back on Madonna's acting career, I thank God for League of Their Own, because we can look back and say, guess what?
At least we got
least we got League of Their Own.
Listen,
I loved Evita, the movie, so much.
I never saw it.
I saw it like 10 times in the theater.
Wow.
I saw, yeah, it affected me a lot. It really influenced me. And then when I was 18 and I had braces, I played Ava Perone in a community.
I saw your resume.
Yeah. I don't think that's on there. I can't imagine.
I think
I would have left it. Wow.
You did Into the Woods twice.
I did. Yeah, that was fun. But those were, that was all too long ago to be on a resume at this point. So sorry about that.
I wasn't stalking. I just wanted to be prepared.
No, I'm like so curious where that could be listed, but I'll take it. But yeah, I played Evita Perone when I was 18. It was very inappropriate, but it was a great after seeing Madonna do it in the movie, her miraculous performance.
Listen, our high school in Wisconsin did The Wiz. Talk about inappropriate.
Yeah. We did a Once on This Island.
Oop.
It's about rich people and poor people.
Wait, so are you Milwaukee?
Greendale. I went to high school in Greendale. Yeah, right outside Milwaukee.
Okay.
Little suburb.
Suburbs.
And then I went to college in La Crosse at Viterbo.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just caught the clock, and we have two more questions that we ask all of our guests.
Okay, let's do it.
I ask you before we go. Number one.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
What are these questions again? Oh, yeah. Number one, first impressions. What was your first impression of each of us?
Ever?
Like since knowing you?
Yeah.
Oh, Dana, I definitely remember meeting you when I took your headshots in college. You were just fun. You had a strong personality, and I liked that. That was my impression of you. I remember meeting you.
Ooh. I'll take it.
And Stephen, we just met right now,
right now in the
first
square.
Impression. It was nice, warm, easy. You introduced yourself. I felt immediately comfortable. I like looking at both of your faces, even though they're on video screens. I'm delighted by them.
Stephen.
You guys look like actually Ariel and Eric right now.
Stop. Oh my God. True. Truly, Nadia, I have to tell you this a little behind the scenes. When I first met Stephen, he did not know that I knew who you were even. And mm-hmm. he had on Summer and Eve on repeat, like a true, true, true fan. And I was like, is that Nadia Quinn?
Oh my God.
And he's like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, I definitely know her. And he could, like, it was like I said I knew Hillary Clinton.
I just think your comedy really style, cool. Your writing style, your musical style is just something that growing up I didn't know was an option. And then like, well, because I'm just like, there are Broadway shows. I didn't know Broadway shows closed till I moved to New York. I was like, why aren't they all here?
No, I didn't know that either. That's funny.
Like, oh, you can make your own shit?
Where are the rest of the options?
Yeah.
I want the evening menu.
Funny.
The evening menu. How dare
you? You know, like in my first years in New York, like I'm going to Joe's Pub. I'm like, what's a Joe's Pub show? Like, I didn't know that you could just
those were the days. Stand
and sing wherever you wanted. And that's how I learned about all that stuff. You're very much part of my like New York genesis.
That's really touching, actually, because those were such, you know, that band, we don't perform together anymore. Aaron and I still write comedy music, but that was such a really special time, those years when we were performing at UCP all the time and Joe's Pub. I'd love to go back to Joe's Pub and do another comedy show. Put that out.
God, I hope that vaudeville comes back, and I hope you're part of it. True.
Vaudeville's back, hon.
Certainly not the hand walking queer.
Is that an inside joke?
It's Kitty Show. No, from Beaches.
Oh. Well, I haven't seen it recently. I've seen Beaches, of course, and wept like a tiny baby.
Good.
Every time.
Good.
Hi-ho! 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 Hi-ho!
Our second question for you is, there are seven very well-known dwarves in history. If you were the eighth, what would your name be?
Oh. I want, like, Who's Happy's friend? I'm pretty happy. Chill the dwarf. Chill the dwarf.
Hey, y'all. Dwarf. Where'd Chill go?
Yeah, it's like
happy and chill. And this and is.
Chill. Yeah. Chill.
She's in her bunk writing a play.
Yeah, happy and chill.
Happy and chill went up the hill.
Did you guys ever know the Punderdome? We have to go. The show's over. Anyway, thank you so much for having me.
The Punderdome
is a big pun competition. It's like a pun down. It's so cool. You guys should get involved. You can like be in the audience and be like, I want to compete.
How is there no documentary about this?
There is one. The reason I know about it is my friend Rudy, who actually, he probably put it on pause because he like won an Emmy for his documentary he made called The Sentence. He was making a documentary with Greg Hildreth about the Punderdome.
Love Greg Hildreth.
Yeah.
The Punderdome.
Look it up. It's really cool. Amy Jo. No. What is her name? Amy Jo. No, her name is not. It's not Amy Jo. It's Amy. Yeah. I forget her name.
Cool. Yeah,
check it out. It's really cool. The Punderdome. It was really fun. We went so many times. It was at out in Brooklyn and like everyone's like packed in a room. We'll never be that way again. Packed in a room with hundreds of people. But yeah, just puns after puns, the most impressive puns.
I got to start training.
Stephen, no, you've been training since 19.
Go check them out online. Stephen, maybe this is your destiny. Hit up that Punderdome.
You might have just initiated my energies.
I hope so.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Thursday.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Kyle, I'm sorry I didn't get to your human design. You can message me on Instagram and I'll give you all your details.
That was so fun.
I can tell I could talk about it for hours. It's just, it would have to be a whole separate thing.
Yeah, we were we were gooped and gagged. Those were very accurate.
I'm damp. I need a whole new outfit.
I like gooped and gagged.
A gooped and gagged.
Gooped and googed.
Nadia Quinn.
Where can people find you, Nadia Quinn?
I can be found on the internet. I'm Nadia Quinn. That's my name. My maiden name is... is Wahab.
And the last four of your social.
Nadia Quinn. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter too, but I feel like I just tweet into a void. I don't even know who I'm talking to. But anytime I think of anything that I want to say to someone and no one's around, I just tweet it. So if that's what you're into, get up in my Twitter, also at Nadia Quinn. No promises about any of these things. My content is, I don't think about anything I do. I just sort of throw it out there and then regret it later.
No shame in her game, folks.
Bye.
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 In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at InTheRoomPod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In the Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.